joined now by our NFL analyst, Jabari Greer. What's up, Jabari?
What's going on? What's going on, everybody?
Good to see you. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Before we get to the game, you made some comments that rubbed me the wrong way.
Bring it on, brother.
Uh-oh.
You support Le'Veon Bell's decision to not play for
of course. You better believe it. You doggone better believe
it. Yeah, let's
hear it. Take us through that.
Yeah. All right, so here we go.
Same, man. Like, we're athletes.
Yeah, exactly.
Three of the four people at this table are athletes. Not an athlete this one.
He was an athlete.
Well,
all right, so we have three reasons. One of the first and most pressing reasons is I would hear my coach, one of my former coaches, an NFL coach, say that when he's looking at a potential free agent running back, he understands that running backs have, just like tires, have tread on them. And after about 3,000 carries, after about 8 to 10 years of carries, you start to understand there's a pitch count for these guys. Once they get to that, close to that pitch count, they're not going to give them the money that they would give a younger back. He told me this. This is a guy who analyzes talent for a living. Le'Veon Bell understands that as well. He understands once he gets up to a certain pitch count, they run him literally 400 times a season. All right? They're doing the same thing to James Conner right now. He understands that. That being said, he wanted to keep those hits, that pitch count low. He wanted to keep that tread on the tire. Second reason, we saw this year with our own eyes, you know, as a player, there's two things that bring you back into the locker room. The guys, the love for the game, and your commitment to fans. All right, you don't want to be seen as selfish, nor do you want to be seen to the fans, nor do you want to be seen as selfish to the players. Am I right? That being said, we saw a guy that was in a situation this year in which he had to make that same decision. He didn't like where his contract was going. He wanted to sit out, and he wanted the team to negotiate. The guy I'm talking about is Earl Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Earl Thomas wanted to negotiate. He let them know. He sat out at the beginning of training camp.
Now, he had a contract, though. He
was signed to a contract. That being said, he had 1 year on his contract, and it was within his rights, if he wanted to sit out, if he wanted to. He had 1 year on his contract. He said, you know what? I will take the fine. I will sit out. I need another contract. I need another long-term contract. They didn't budge. They did not move. They said, you know what? We believe he'll come in. And he did exactly that. He came in. He said himself, I didn't want to be a distraction to the guys. I want to play with my teammates. I want to show the fans that I'm not a selfish player. Gets in there and gets injured. Breaks his leg. Put millions of potential earnings out the window. He will never recoup that money. He's already almost pushing 30 right now. After coming back from a broken leg, nobody's going to give him more than $10 million coming back. Mm-hmm. Le'Veon Bell understands that. It's not, there are business decisions that have to be made, and you have to put aside what the fans believe, what your teammates believe, because the truth is he will never have this opportunity to make this type of money again.
Well, on a different level, I think, didn't Dez Bryant come back and blow his Achilles out?
Yeah, but nobody wanted to sign him,
no,
right?
I know.
Like,
yeah,
he didn't have a franchise tag. Right. He didn't have $14.5 million. But
the point
how much
is, he was sitting around a while and he just showed up. And
absolutely.
Boom,
it can happen.
Like, and the truth is, that's what I'm worried about the most. I'm not worried about him sitting out and getting that and what the fans or the players will feel like. I am concerned about him missing that time playing full speed NFL football, and when you get back, I don't care how much you've been working out. I don't care if you've been down there at South Beach running down the hills or running in the sand every single day. It does not replicate a full speed rep, as you know.
So
it doesn't replicate a
full speed. Are you talking about those concerns if you were to come back week or for next season
for
when he shows
season.
Back up?
Yeah. For next
so
season.
So shouldn't that be buyers beware then? Like, what if he comes, he's missed a whole year?
Well,
like,
that's the documented, isn't there, that a guy that misses the whole year, It's never quite the same.
That's a concern. I would say generally that's going to be a concern going into the offseason. But I believe that the upside outweighs that.
Okay.
What he can do as a football player in the backfield as well as a receiver, this guy can change. He can totally transform an organization. You know, his off-the-field issues aside, you know, because everybody that I've played with that's played with him says that he's a great teammate. That being said, you can build an offense around Le'Veon Bell. You can build an offense around him. And the team that gets him It's going to be a good team. It's going to be a lucky team.
How much money do you think will be waiting for him in the offseason? Do you think he gets the most guaranteed ever for a running back this offseason?
I don't think he gets more than Todd Gurley.
No.
I think he gets between $13 and $15 million a year. I think he gets $30-45 million guaranteed.
We thought 40?
Yeah, 40. I think Gurley basically got 40, give or take, if it all works out, I think.
I think they're similar players, but I believe that Gurley's played he's played the game pretty well and actually hit the market at a good time.
Right.
At the perfect time.
Jabari Greer in studio. The Steelers are doing a bit of PR backpedaling because yesterday came out that they were messing with his stuff and all that. And now today they're saying, listen, we're just goofing around. We love Le'Veon Bell, but it's closure. He's out. No one stole his stuff. He got his shoes back. Which story do you actually believe?
I mean, the truth is, if they did, so what? This guy has money in the bank. Let him have a couple of J's, man. Let him have a couple pair of shoes.
We were talking about it yesterday. Like, if one of the guys left or got traded or whatever.
Of course.
Guys are like vultures.
Yeah, you're right. Of course I'm going to his locker. That's just the temperature in the locker room. Yeah. Guys have a good time. You know, hey, we love Le'Veon. It's great. But you leaving all this stuff here? Man. Yeah. Please.
He's not walking in to get it.
Not at all.
Especially if you're a lesser light that hardly plays or practice squad or something. I don't know, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
That would suck if it's like Roethlisberger that's taking it. It's like, go buy your own shoes.
We've said it. I don't know how it is for you, but we've talked about it. Guys make $5, $10 million, whatever. Somebody comes in with a box of free T-shirts and throws
it
in the
room. I'm taking them.
Everyone will dog pile for it. That's how guys are.
Gross.
It's gross. Yeah. It's embarrassing because they could buy millions of those T-shirts, but guys will just dog pile for anything free.
There's nothing rich people like more than free stuff.
Right. I play with a guy, multi-million dollar player. For Christmas, there was like a gift card for ice cream. And he went crazy that his kid didn't get one at the Christmas game. I'm thinking, what do you care? You could buy the store.
Yeah. Go buy a Baskin Robbins.
Yeah. But his answer was, it's about principle.
It always is.
I get it, but man, buy the ice cream store.
Jabari Greer, our NFL analyst in studio. Of the two coaches going tonight, Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, who do you think is on thinner ice?
Oh, Mike McCarthy. Have to say.
So? Yeah.
Mike McCarthy. Look, you start with Pete Carroll. What Pete Carroll has done with a totally different roster, I think, is extremely admirable. You lose a Legion of Boom. You have all these off-the-field distractions. Your offensive line couldn't block for anything. You couldn't run the football. Russell Wilson was getting sacked every other time he dropped back. They went out and got two guys on the offensive line. They are one of the best running football teams in the NFL, the best, averaging 150 yards per game. New look secondary, got guy Shaquille Griffin who's playing like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Shaquem Griffin, who is playing like a dog. These guys, the way that they can pinpoint talent, I think is admirable, given what he had to overcome. Pete Carroll. Mike McCarthy, it seems as if he is squandering the best opportunity that has been presented to Aaron Rodgers in a long time. You have a running back. First of all, you get rid of Ty Montgomery because of some off-the-field issues.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Montgomery is a staple in that locker room. He's a guy that can play multiple positions. He's a guy that knows how to win, understands the ebb and the flow of not only the game but the seasons. You can't replace players like that who understands that – things are going to normalize. You have to be able to be calm and cautious. They have Jimmy Graham, barely getting him the football.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Jones should be one of the leading running backs in the NFL this year. He should be top five. Barely get him the football. He's only had over 18 carries one time.
And Rodgers has been vocal about that.
Exactly.
Publicly, which is kind of strange for a quarterback to call out a head coach that way.
You get rid of people don't understand. You get rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. That right there was a bit red flag for me. Because the thing is, like, just like I'm sure in hockey, there are certain positions that if you can get rid of certain positions. But if you get rid of that goalie.
Yeah.
You know, like that is a position that not only has leadership, but it also it means stability. In the NFL, it's that free safety position. If you get rid of your free safety, if you get rid of your middle linebacker, it's just like getting rid of your quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He got rid of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the guy that patrols, that calls the plays, that gets everybody lined up in the secondary. You have two rookie corners. You have two young guys corner playing corner. You have to be able to communicate, and especially in this environment, they are playing in the Seattle Seahawks home stadium. I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
No.
That is the loudest stadium in the NFL. It is treacherous. It's crazy. Excuse me. It's crazy. Wow. That being said, you need to have some type of veteran leadership back there calling the plays, getting your guys lined up, and they lost that with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And I think that Mike McCarthy should shoulder the blame with the way that he's used his personnel.
Jabari Greer in studio. Looking at the NFC North, you know, the Bears, they put it together, right? Like they blew that game at Lambeau week one, where they hold on to that. They're 7-2 and they're really rocking.
The Bears.
Like, I look at the schedule with the Packers, and I know the Vikings are a part of this too, but I'm not sure they can lose more than one more game. And they're at Seattle tonight. They're at Minnesota next week. They're at the Bears week 15.
Oof.
I don't know if they can get this back on the rails. Right. How do you feel about the
Bears? And it was slam dunk.
Yeah, especially Rodgers. Yeah. And he still might be able to do that, but I don't know if the Packers can get back in.
No, I don't think they're going to run a table. The good thing about the NFC is that it's a pretty weak conference. They might be able to get in on a wild card spot if they win three out of those four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're going to beat Minnesota at Minnesota. I don't think they're going to beat Chicago at Chicago. I honestly don't think they're going to beat Seattle at Seattle tonight. But that being said, they play the Jets.
Right.
They play
Falcons
the Falcons.
Home.
You know, so these teams aren't they're not playing very well right now.
Right.
But the good thing, like as I said before, the NFC is pretty weak. And you can possibly get in winning 8 or 9 games in for the wild card spot.
Jabari Greer, our TSN NFL analyst in studio. We're talking about this Patrick Mahomes piece where I guess he's just a catch-up freak. He loves catch-up on everything. And he's kind of embarrassed by it because he knows that everyone's watching him in Kansas City.
Yes.
And I can't imagine what that kind of spotlight would be like. Like, everybody in Kansas City would know this guy.
Yes.
Everybody, to the point where it's affecting his life.
Yeah.
Not on the field, but, I mean, is it possible to sympathize for a superstar like that or what?
You know, I often think about that. And guys would have conversations about this. Would you want to be Drew Brees? Would you honestly? Everybody would want the paycheck. You know, everybody would want the accolades. But would you want
to deal with the pain in the ass?
Would you want to not be able to get up and go get something from the grocery store at 12 o'clock, at night?
Something.
Like, the thing is that we like being, you know, we love being professional athletes. We love when people say, hey, I know you. But the truth is that there is an advantage to being able to blend in. You know, guys like Patrick Mahomes now, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, these guys who are visible. And I know it's bad for basketball players because these guys are six forever.
Absolutely.
You know, these guys can't even blend in. Even if you don't know their name, you know there's something different about these guys.
You know they play.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, being able to blend in is, you know, that's a superpower. But you get a guy like Patrick Mahomes, he can't blend in anywhere. And I think I'm sure that that's a burden. And I'm sure that there has to be some type of service that can offer, you know, some type of
relief, yes.
Yeah, for some of these guys, you know. So I always wonder, you know, if I could start one of those businesses where I can actually just go to Starbucks for Drew and get him his
just be a helper.
His pumpkin spice latte.
It's like a pro concierge where it's like whatever you want, but at the end of the day, you don't get to go out and enjoy a dinner.
They have handlers.
The problem. Your life is affected.
But
you're not allowed to live
your
life.
I told you the last hour. You go to a restaurant, it's like, I'm not sitting with everyone else. Give me a private room. And that's end of story.
But I tell you what, the issue with that, and this is a deeper issue, as a man who's went through retirement, I actually had to find this out for myself, is that you have a guy, because I'm sure it is, it's like this in the NHL too. They tell you, listen, focus on the game. You have a guy like Patrick Mahomes who gets to delegate every single thing. I'm sure a lot of superstars have to delegate just even going to the grocery store. And once you're done with whatever sport you play, you're done playing football, you're done playing hockey, you're done playing baseball, you have to learn how to live everyday life. Like, how do I book a doctor's appointment? Like, how do I honestly you know, do these simple things that we take for granted, that people take for granted, that they've never had to do because they've always had somebody doing these things for them. They've always had somebody told them, to tell them to delegate those responsibilities.
I used to love when I played with guys and they're like, they would get traded to our team and it would be like, they would be telling some guys saying, make sure my wife's picked up from the airport and pick her up flowers. And I was just like,
go get her yourself.
But you do. But it's like,
you got a car, go get her yourself.
I think the bigger, you know, acclimated into society is more, you know, you got to go wait in line at the doctor's office.
Oh, yeah,
stuff like
exactly.
That.
You don't get to go through the back door.
Because
you're not getting that MRI this hour.
Immediately, because on the team, they've got their own MRI machine. If they got access to the thing. You need stitches, it's done right there. Yeah. You need something, you know, your wife needs something, your kids need something. It's one phone call away, and it's right there. Now you're back in regular society, and you know, it is an adjustment, but I think if you stay close to it, I was a guy who always tried to stay close to doing stuff like that. That way it wasn't that big of an adjustment. But there are players that I played with were completely oblivious.
Yes.
You know, like couldn't walk into an apartment and know how to pay for it or put ass wipe in there. Like they didn't know what they were doing. Like no joke, like pay the bills or like, oh.
They're stupid. They're stupid.
Let's not talk about filing taxes now. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. That'll catch up to you.
But then those guys get taken care of and they get taken to the cleaner sometimes with people that they trust, and those people take advantage of them, too. So you've got to be on top of
that. That's another thing. You're like, okay, someone else is doing it, but you have no idea what kind of money they're taking out.
Exactly. I got rinsed one time. I had this lady looking after my stuff, and she was paying my bills, you know, the cleaning lady paying for dry cleaning. And once I came home and I noticed that there was this brutal, ugly-looking shirt in my dry cleaning, I'm like, I went up to her and I go, whose shirt is this? She's like, oh, that's my husband's. I'm like, oh.
Mixing those in.
Yeah.
So it sent off a little alarm bell. I'm paying for her husband's dry, probably her whole family.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So then I started going through the checks and I'm like, my house, all I did was go to the couch to my room. That's all I did. I watched TV and I'd go to bed. It was a big house. I'm like, it would probably cost somebody $50 to clean this place. She was charging herself, writing herself a check for $457 to clean my house. I say, I go, you charge yourself $500 to clean my house? All I do is go from the couch to my bed.
I know what it is.
So then I said to her, I'm like, look, you either make up these payments or you're going to have a problem on your hands. I go, because I got all the checks here.
Let me guess. Ninja dust.
No.
Disappeared.
She had to wash the drawers, man.
Wow. Yeah,
that's what I was saying. The 457 is—that's hazard pay.
Yeah,
she's got to get up and watch you get off the couch and go upstairs and in your bathrobe or
walking in on you taking a shower costs $500.
Hired her cousin to do brand new landscaping all over my place. I'm like, it was just done. It's all brand new.
Yeah.
I just had to float him. It was just.
No, yeah.
He's lucky. I would have.
First world problems right here.
Exactly. Good seeing you, Jabari. Thanks for joining
us. Awesome. Enjoy it always.
There's Jabari Greer, NFL analyst and longtime NFLer, Super Bowl champ down in New Orleans. Big Thursday nighter tonight on TSN. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20. Time now for News Talk 1010 traffic update.
Well, we've got some good news and some bad news. I'll start with the good. Northbound DVP approaching York Mills. We did have a stalled vehicle there in the right lane. That is now clear. Westbound 401 at Dixon Martin Grove. We had a crash in the center lane. That is also clear. Eastbound Gardner approaching the DVP. We had a crash there in the left lane. That is also clear. New problems, however. Eastbound Gardner approaching Jarvis. A crash there in the left lane. And ongoing problems on the Niagara-bound QEW on the upside of the Burlington Skyway. A stalled vehicle in the right lane. Traffic brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed, pro all the way. From the Newstalk 1010 Traffic Center, I'm Victoria Arsenault.
First up with Michael Landsberg and former Leaf Carlo Colaiacovo. Every weekday morning from 6 to 10 and only on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.